Hey everybody, welcome back to Fantasy Movie Mashup with Michael
and Xavier.
And we're here to discuss a movie we just got finished opening this weekend. It was actually a spectacular movie. Spider-Man: Homecoming. If you enjoy Spider-Man, you'll enjoy the movie. I'm not a massive Spider-Man fan, but this movie, if you enjoyed Iron Man 3, but a better version of Iron Man 3, this is that movie.
I was about to say, I did not like Iron Man 3. I do agree with you. I believe it's using the same tenets or the same structure as Iron Man 3, but actually executing and delivering it better. No, but I agree. I mean, Far From Home, it was a great Spider-Man movie. I'm not too sold on his... they did a boyish charm when it comes to his like Spider-Man personality. I like the more sarcastic, witty versions of it, but overall it was I liked it just because it really felt like it was kind of like a blast in the past. I could feel, it's like I remember feeling that way in high school. I thought they executed that really well.
And I just noticed that I said Homecoming instead of Far From Home. So yes, if you catch that in the first few seconds, yes, I did say that. I just caught my mistake.
I was like, wait, what movie are we talking about now?
No, but ultimately, I feel like everybody can relate to Peter Parker in this aspect, in the sense of he has some stuff, a lot of pressure on his shoulders, and regardless if you're a teenager or if you're an adult, you've been one time in your life where you've had some stress. I know there are some people out there that have less stress than others, but there will be one time, whether it's a test or work or dealing with your loved ones or a death in the family, where you get a lot of pressure put on you and you get to that point of breaking. And this is that story. It's a story of Peter Parker at that limit trying to figure out, can he live up to that Tony Stark mantle? And you add Jake Gyllenhaal's character as Mysterio. And massive spoiler alerts, guys. Massive. Listen to this podcast. Massive spoiler alerts.
We'll have to put it like on the title.
But Mysterio's character, and I won't spoil much. I will say it starts off weird, where Jake really is not using his full acting potential. Yeah. And then in the middle of the movie, you finally hit it. Yeah. And it's perfect. And if you liked some of the video games Mysterio, like Shattered Realms, I think that's the name of it, Shattered Something. It's very similar to the Mysterio in that video game, where the way they overall push this. So I overall gave the movie itself, I really think it's a hard 8 out of 10.
Well, here's the cool thing, another cool thing about the movie is the fact that the director, I think his name is John Watts or something Watts, I believe. He uses Spider-Man villains that aren't like the main focus. Like, everybody knows Doc Ock. They also know the Green Goblin. So he's gone a different route. He's highlighted arguably very strong Spider-Man villains that have good folklore, but it's more of the deep cut nature. Like, you have to know a little bit about Spider-Man. It's like the first movie had the Vulture, This one has Mysterio as a reference character, and they're actually talking about if he was able to do the third one, it would be Kraven the Hunter.
I actually like that. I like to that be idea. Honest, the Vulture, but he's not getting B-list actors to play these.
No.
Michael Keaton.
He got the Birdman. I thought that was like, that part made me laugh because, like, first off, we know him as Batman. So you're like, oh, wow.
Then he had the Birdman.
But then he did Birdman, which is kind of like a play on his Batman role.
Yeah, such a spectacular role, to be honest. Ultimately, I feel like he's going the right way because if you pull a Venom in or you pull these characters, you're never going to do them correctly. Just because there's so much story and so much background to these characters, you're not going to push that agenda on comic book nerds. Being a comic book nerd myself, and I've read all of those. I've read the Anti-Venom. I've read everything there is out there, and I'm not even a Spider-Man fan. So if you do it wrong,
a lot of work.
You do it wrong.
Oh, you're gonna beat up.
You're gonna hear about it, and those fans are gonna destroy you. And even if the movie makes money, you will basically lose your chance of making your next Marvel movie.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, like that's like sometimes I get so frustrated at fandoms because there's so like you're the crazy thing about the fandoms and them revolting against stuff. And guys, I know that if you listen to last episode and you hear my rants about Game of Thrones, it could sound like I am arguing against what I. what I did yesterday. But like these, the fans at times, because they have such this notion of what they want it to be, they just ruin it for any future ideas. I mean, one of my favorite fandoms, the Star Wars fandom, they've done that very thing. And then the crazy part is the production companies will respond to the fandom's backlash. They'll hold off doing stuff. And then the fandom then whine to complain that certain projects are canceled. So it's like almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like a vicious circle.
And it's and I bring this up because there's previous Spider-Man where they flooded the movie with too many villains. Like the movie where they brought Venom out. So Spider-Man 3. If they would have just made that Sandman... That movie's not bad. If the villain was just Sandman, a guy that was had at the bottom of the barrel, on the bad luck, but legitimately became a villain, that's not a bad story. If you just tell the Sandman story with Spider-Man and what...
Nah, I need Topher Grace. I need Topher Grace as Venom.
God, that was so bad.
with his little sharp...
Thank you, Tom Hardy.
Yeah, not so. After I watched Far From Home, I wanted to watch the earlier iterations of Spider-Man, and I forgot how much of a big deal and a difference. And it was a good. It was a subtle difference that spoke a lot of volume. Though is the animation of the eyes, like going back to the old ones where it just looks like a sunglass like lens on top of the mask. Just having the eyes respond as they did in the comic books and in the cartoons was such a small little detail that, again, it highlight it just added to that overall good feel that you have for the movie.
No, it's I always break it down to if you've seen The Watchmen when Rorschach.
Best character.
Like when his eyes and stuff moved. You could actually tell that there was a face under there and there's emotion behind what he's saying.
Right.
So it really helped Spider-Man. I feel like we finally found the best Spider-Man.
He's a good balance. He's a good balance.
Oh, I think he's the best.
I like Andrew Garfield. I really do.
I thought his hair was terrible.
Like on that is your thing. I just liked...
He did not have Peter Parker's hair.
Well, I see, that's the problem is Andrew Garfield to me was the best like Spider-Man in the spider suit.
I thought his
sarcasm,
jokes,
his jokes, his wittiness.
His wittiness was good. So I always break it down like no different than how I break down Batman.
Oh my god!
So you're Batman,
disagree with Batman.
So Batman, I feel that the best Bruce Wayne was by far Michael Keaton.
And like the sad part is, I already know that I'm at the losing end of this argument because to me, the best personification of Bruce Wayne to me, and people are gonna hate me for it, is Ben Affleck. Like he just had that Bruce Wayne look. Like,
oh, I did. Like
Michael
I
Keaton was more eccentric.
I agree with you. Now, if we're talking about like the way you fight and portray Batman, I feel like Christian Bale did that.
Okay, I was like, don't you say like Val Kilmer.
So the way my Batman breakdown goes Michael Keaton. It's a tie for second with Christian Bale / Ben Affleck. Then it's Adam West.
Yeah.
Then it's George Clooney. And then George Clooney is kind of tied with that Val Kilmer. But to be honest, I will tell you guys, if you liked Jim Carrey as the Riddler, you'll really enjoy this movie. Because there's a lot of similarities, and I think it actually really fits. I actually, if I can break this into another segment for us, I would actually love to have a Mysterio Riddler face off.
So you want like
DC versus Marvel? Hey, they've done DC versus Marvel comic books for the last 25 years, and I think there's they will do high profile villains fighting each other, but they never do like the, I don't like to call them the B list. I call them the A minus list. Like Mysterio versus Riddler would be amazing. Because there's so many similarities. They both think so much of themselves, which is always their downfall. But they also are super geniuses. And there's things that Riddler could put Mysterio through that Mysterio could put Riddler through. Because Mysterio is more like a, your vision is going to mess with you. But Riddler is like, your mind's going to mess with you.
That's like, so if we're staying in this same vein, I would say, could you imagine a Penguin, but like it's got to be like Danny DeVito Penguin with a versus Kingpin?
I'd go for that because they both have money, but dude, I'm not gonna lie.
It's like a twin situation.
Did you ever watch the Batman cartoon?
The Batman.
The chubby penguin. Dude's got massive martial arts skills. The guy did some kung fu. He would jump like 10 feet in the air and do side kicks. First of all, that penguin versus a kingpin.
It's the only penguin that can fly.
I like that fight. I'm good with that fight. Now, if we could put other villains from Spider-Man versus Batman, let's see, Two-Face,
okay,
versus Hammerhead.
Interesting. Two-Face versus Hammerhead.
Oh yeah,
but who would play them? I'm very curious because, like, to me, like, I need to see like who would be the actor.
I actually would like if it's first of all, I feel like it would be hard to make him play him just because he is the Punisher. But Berthnell,
yeah,
I think that's how you say his last name. I'm probably butchering it like crazy. That would be Hammerhead because I feel like he has the accent. He has everything that it takes to get there. Now, Two-Face? I actually like the Two-Face from Christian Bale's movie.
Andrew Eckhart? Dude, or Aaron Eckhart.
Aaron Eckhart. That guy was amazing in Thank You for Smoking.
Oh my gosh, yeah. He's so
one of the best movies of all time.
Yeah, he's if you have, there's also another really good movie with him. I want to say it's called, it's like Ted or Bill. It's or I'm Bill or something like that, where he's playing like this middle-aged guy who just kind of like hits reset on his life and his career and like refines himself. He does, it's great acting. It's not always like the blockbuster movies, but I definitely recommend looking into him.
Oh, man. Bane.
Okay.
And you could choose two of... It's between two from the Spider-Man universe. You could go Bane versus, like, Venom.
Okay.
Which could be a decent fight.
You literally have Venom Tom Hardy Bane
versus this is Tom Hardy. Tom
Hardy Venom. So it's really Hardy versus Hardy, which now is like a crime thriller. Hardy versus Hardy.
But think about it. Like, because the Bane's juice... Okay. It's called Venom.
That is true. I was going to ask you, which version of Bane are you talking? Are you talking about like the Venom Bane? Or are you just talking about...
No, you got to do... Not the Tom Hardy Bane. You got to do the Venom Bane. Okay. But, and he has to be... Let's get him back to being Hispanic. Y'all want to put Hispanic characters in movies and not change like the characters themselves? Well, Bane was... From Colombia.
Yeah, he was...
He was a drug lord. Okay. He was an assassin drug lord. So
Tom Hardy went like Eastern European.
It was cultural appropriation.
Batman.
But like, that would be funny. That would be a funny fight. But you could also... Tombstone is a lesser known Spider-Man villain. A lot of people don't know him. He was in our generation Spider-Man the Animated Series... He was an all white guy with a white a military cut, but like he was like undefeatable.
Okay.
So he didn't have to breathe, he didn't have to do anything. He was just like indestructible. He was like already dead. He was basically like Solomon Grundy from Batman.
Okay.
But like a more jacked version.
Oh wow.
So that would be a good fight too. Let's see. Other characters. Ooh. Firefly. Okay. From Batman.
Yeah.
Versus Shocker from
Spider-Man.
Fire versus that whole...
Because he does like pulse. It's all not like pulse. Electricity, but it's like...
Yeah, it's all pulse weapons.
That's like... He kind of uses like a similar hammer fist to... What's his name in the Marvel Universe? Is it Crossbone? Or
No, it's more like if you saw Black Panther, the one of the main protagonists in Black Panther. I will tell you guys, I am one of those guys, I barely watched Black Panther. I thought the movie was okay. It wasn't the best Marvel movie, it wasn't the worst Marvel movie, it was just pretty decent. I thought there were some good characters overall. The main bad guy... Michael B. Jordan was one of the best villains.
Oh yeah, Killmonger.
Killmonger.
Like, I wanted a Killmonger movie.
Like he destroyed it. Like whatever he did between Creed and Killmonger, he's killing it. Michael B. Jordan has grown up and he's killing acting. He's just amazing.
Like in Black Panther, my two favorite characters are probably like characters you're not supposed to inherently like, right? Like Killmonger up there. He's the villain, so you're not supposed to root for the villain, but I found myself rooting for him. The second one was M'Baku. I loved M'Baku.
Was it the gorilla?
Yeah, like, yeah. And his, like, his acting, and obviously it was interesting to see him in Us. Like, I'm like, really? You know how to defend yourself. So I'm like, I'm using my Black Panther knowledge to then say he should be able to do this in another movie. Which, can I just backtrack to that in the essence of, it always trips me out when I watch a movie where I know you know how to fight. So, like, I've seen Jason Statham movies where he's supposed to be, like, a common everyday man. It makes it so hard for me to accept.
Oh, like London.
Yes, yeah.
He was just a coke dealer.
Yeah. And I'm just like, this is so weird. It's like, I know you could do more. Oh, it breaks it for me.
That guys, if you haven't seen the movie London and you're a big Jason Statham or Chris Evans fan, so if you like Captain America or Jason Statham, go watch, or if you just want to see Jessica Biel, She's hot. That movie, you have to be really into dialogue-heavy movies because most of the movie is in a bathroom at a party for a going away party. And it's just in the bathroom with Chris Evans and Jason Statham doing coke and talking back and forth about randomness. So if you like really dialogue-heavy movies, London is an amazing movie to watch.
Okay. Literally, the idea just came to me, and this is what I would like to see. So I am so tired of going to a freaking Pixar movie and enjoying the crap out of it, because don't get me wrong, how can you really hate Pixar? But I'll watch these movies, and it'll, like, hit you deep. It's just like, oh, that's right. That is the way to think as a child, and how, like, the things that we've missed through our transition from childhood into adulthood, and how the world taints us, so we lose kind of that charm and nostalgia. Pixar, in different ways, shows that. Could you imagine if Pixar made a movie that was like PG-13 or R? Like, a Pixar movie that was designed to teach us adults how to do something that we're not missing. Like, instead of being nostalgic, I would love them to teach me something that I need to know right now, not what I should have known years ago.
That's actually pretty funny.
Like, I would, it would have to be like PG-13. Like, I would love to see that. And you know they could do some, like, creative stuff. Like, it's called Checkbook. Because, there's so many things that we go through now that it would be much better to learn them now than to have to wait 10 years to look back and go, oh, yeah, you know, I should have learned that then.
It's like the whole Rod Stewart song. I wish I knew what I knew now.
Right. Like,
it's... It is one of those things, but ultimately, what rating did you give Spider-Man Far From Home?
Oh, I mean, I would get. Did we created a rating scale, didn't we, at some point?
Oh,
I can't even remember.
It's Ticket or.
Oh, okay, yeah. I would definitely. Oh, yeah, 100%, hands down. You get a ticket.
It's either
you get a ticket for your kid
or boot it.
Cue it. I mean, there's no reason why not to like it.
And if you have kids, take them to it. It's an amazing movie. He just killed it, to be honest. I'm surprised he didn't spoil the movie before the movie. But ultimately, he knocked it out of the park. All right, now we're in the segment of the show of, since we're on this superhero vein, what superhero franchise would you like to save?
What superhero? Have we talked about Ghost Rider?
What, Nicolas Cage? That dude's killing it.
He's
one of the best actors of all time, dude.
I would love... It's either a toss-up between Ghost Rider or... I don't know if we've talked about
it
before.
Did you not see the last Ghost Rider?
No.
Where he was like the... They talked about him being the angel when it was filmed but with iPhones?
No.
No, the movie was amazing.
The Wachowskis?
Yeah.
I like how you're like, I'm like, really? You actually watched this movie?
Yeah.
What was it even called?
It was Nicolas Cage. First of all,
it was Nicolas Cage.
If it was,
you watched it because of Sam Elliott.
No, I watched it because of Nicolas Cage, guys. Nicolas Cage is one of the best actors of all time. What? Let me recap. I mean, Nicolas Coppola is one of the best actors of all time.
Because
guys, that is Nicolas Coppola. He's a Coppola.
Oh yeah, I mean he comes from royal.
That guy could have been
filming
Superman.
Royalty, but Ghost Rider.
First of all, that guy could have been Superman first. That guy could have been Superman first. Long haired Superman too. So like early '90s Superman, he was killing it.
Oh okay, yeah, no. So Nicolas Cage. I mean, biopic. Like, let's do a biopic about the rise and fall of Nicolas Cage.
No, first
career.
Of all. Let's name
and have Nicolas Cage play himself.
Con Air? You saying Con Air's not good?
No. Con Air is good, but you have to... Okay. Have you not seen...
Gone in 60 Seconds?
Okay. Again, he makes... It's not that he hasn't made good movies, But there has been a sharp
decline. What was that movie where he was an angel and couldn't die? And it had the Google dolls? The Google dolls killed it. Because legitimately, they wouldn't have been a great band if it wasn't for Nicolas Cage.
Yes, but you're naming all the stuff that he's known to be good in.
Face Off? Face Off? Okay. Tell me, Face Off wasn't good?
Okay. Yes, it was good. But if you're thinking about it, look.
Ghost Rider 1?
Was not good.
It was amazing.
It was not good.
He was killing it.
It was not good. No.
He's just a hater. He's made
Knowing. He has also made the Left Behind series. If you have not seen
the Left Behind National series. Treasure?
Correct. He has had some successes.
No. He has a lot more successes than failures.
Okay, but as of recent, he's had a lot of failures.
But he's had a lot of successes.
What is another one? Bad Lieutenants.
First of all,
Stolen, Bangkok Dangerous, Seeking Justice.
I will not speak poorly of this actor just because I think he's one of the most amazing actors of all time. This is no different than Bob De Niro. Bob De Niro's made some of the greatest movies of all time.
Oh, yeah, but now he's just like...
He's phoning it in.
Yeah, he's just hamming it
in. Now, you know who will phone it in and he's okay with it? He doesn't care what movie he does. And he's good in every one of these movies. Samuel Jackson. That dude will do whatever. You pay that guy, he's there.
He'll do it. He'll make it memorable. Like, that's the only reason why we watch Snakes on a Plane was because of him.
Come on.
It's him.
It's Samuel Jackson.
Mace Windu himself. Like, it's not even Mace Windu. It's just Samuel Jackson with a lightsaber. Like,
and he made sure his lightsaber was different color.
I know, that's like contractual.
It's so awesome.
So baller.
Because there's no purple lightsabers in Star Wars other than Samuel Jackson.
Okay, but no. Ghost Rider needs to be in facelift or Who's I would say Fantastic Four.
Who's the actor? Who's the actor taking over Ghost Rider?
The actor taking over?
Because right now, just to let you know, the Ghost Rider actor from the TV series is Hispanic. Because the most recent Ghost Rider is Hispanic.
It's like...
Just so you guys know, my counterpart over here is Puerto Rican. So I am not making any slurs at all. I am just speaking, this is facts.
Oh, I could see like, for some reason, a Hispanic ghostwriter just took me into a place where, again, it falls in line kind of with like my Pixar idea. Where it is like Coco 2, but this time like Coco is the Ghost Rider.
Kinda. Very, very similar plot, I guess.
Oh my gosh.
Alright, so which one would I say? See, I would say typically I always go for the Hulk. I actually find the best Hulk movie ever made was called Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
That's the best Hulk movie
that is.
You will ever make.
That is. That Please is a Hulk making. Movie. That is the Hulk movie.
Please stop making Hulk movies because legitimately, they've never gotten it right.
No, they haven't. I don't know why because like the Hulk is like one of my all-time favorites. Now, they've had certain
parts of those movies right. Like Hulk versus Abomination, that was sick.
Yeah.
The rest of that movie, the beginning of the movie, sucked.
Yeah.
Oh, and
yeah.
I loved Edward Norton.
Yeah. Dude, it's not even Edward. If you look at, what was that one? I think it was just called like Incredible Hulk or something. I mean, it had, what's his name? Tim Roth?
Yeah, he killed it.
Yeah, like it had, I mean, was it John Hart? It's got a crazy Liv Tyler. Yeah. The cast was amazing for it. It's just the lead up to it. Yeah, just, I don't know.
But I'm not going to go that route. Just because I feel like it's too easy. A character I would actually like to... I'd actually like to bring somebody in that hasn't had a movie. And I just think it... Because we want to move to where Batman can actually just continue to exist. I actually would like to see like a Nightwing movie, like a secondary character movie, just because you could do so much with it, because there is so much lore, but you don't have to stick to it as much because they don't have the same amount of fandom. It's kind of like Deadpool, they has a cult following, but it doesn't have the following as like a Batman. So you can kind of tweak it to whatever you really want it. So doing somebody like a Nightwing or doing like a Superboy or a secondary character.
See, I want Batman Beyond.
Ooh, that would actually... Terry McGinnis, where Terry McGinnis. He's actually a clone of Bruce Wayne. Yeah, that's actually it's not a bad idea. And it's way in the future, so you could actually make it a sci-fi.
Yeah,
that wouldn't be too bad. If I was going to move into the Marvel universe, a character I kind of would like to see get their own, or either save their franchise. I'd actually like to see a better version of the X-Force. So you already know that Deadpool's doing well, and you had Hugh Jackman, possibly you possibly have one of the best guys out there right now trying to be Wolverine.
Oh my gosh, and yeah. Jason
Momoa is, I feel like you could do a better X-Force with, you know, Wolverine, Deadpool, Domino, and kind of make it one of those comedy thrillers. But it can also be sci-fi because X-Force really jumps into the future and then jumps back into the past.
Yeah, 'cause like,
there's so many aspects to it. That would be actually like a pretty cool idea. But I feel like the one that I'll go with that I really would like to see a Nightwing movie, just because I'm a massive fan. But that's just me personally. But if I want to sell a movie to a crowd, I think X-Force would make a lot of money just because Ryan Reynolds is killing it.
Oh yeah, it's got to be Ryan Reynolds. That
boy, Jason Momoa would upgrade. I don't want to say upgrade. I think he would take over the mantle well for Wolverine. I think he would really buy into the character. I think you could surround them with like really good characters.
He could be more. I feel like he would be more. He could be more animalistic, like that. That more like savage Wolverine that you see in some of the comics and some of the cartoons. I think Jason Momoa could give you that. He'd almost kind of give you that like saber-tooth kind of vibe.
Kind of like if y'all haven't seen Frontier.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
If you haven't seen Frontier, if you want to know why I kind of believe that Jason Momoa would kill it as Wolverine, go watch Frontier on Netflix. It's a really good series. It's about fur trading and
yeah, like up north in Canada.
Yeah, so it's a perfect setting. So go watch that. But we've come to the end of our show. Thank you for listening. I hope you all have a great week. We will be back next week with our next episode and our next movie mashup, guys.
Okay, see you.
And like we always say, we said what we said.